Folks, with 1 week left in 2013, we're $6,000 short of budget. Please consider making a year-end tax-deductible gift this week. You can donate by check, make your check payable to Issues Etc., send it to Issues Etc., Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also make a year-end tax-deductible contribution online at issuesetc.org. Thanks for listening, and thanks for keeping us in mind at the end of 2013. The open to J.S. Bach's Christmas Oratorio. Now, Bach put a lot of scripture to music, some beautiful music, music that has endured not only in the life of the church, but even outside the life of the church, beyond his musical genius. Is he just retelling the story, the basic facts, because it's a compelling story, as anyone would retell a story for an opera, so to speak, or is there more at work in Bach's work, and in particular his Christmas Oratorio, than just a narrative retelling of the Christmas facts? Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc., coming to you from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. On this December the 26th, the day after Christmas, we are going to spend this hour discussing Bach's Christmas Oratorio, and then we'll study the Christmas hymn, All My Heart This Night Rejoices. Pastor Peter Bender will be our guest. Joining us to talk about J.S. Bach's Christmas Oratorio, cantor Kevin Hildebrand. He's associate cantor at Concordia Theological Seminary and director of the youth choir at St. Paul Lutheran Church and School in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Cantor Hildebrand, welcome to Issues Etc.
Hi, Todd. Pleasure to be with you, and Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you as well. Is Bach simply telling the story over again, just a narrative retelling, or is there more going on in his Christmas Oratorio than that?
Well, of course. With Bach's music, there's always more than just simply telling the story. It's replete with theological insights and wisdom and musical commentary on that theology. Very much like any of his cantatas, or when you look at some of his larger works like the large passion settings, the strict scripture text is only a portion, and I say only, with all the richness that the scripture text itself has. But then, for instance, a soloist sings part of that Christmas story, then we reflect on that through hymns and certain selected stanzas of Christmas chorales that are familiar to the hearers, as well as musical settings of theological poetry, which sort of set up more of a reflection and a commentary on that text. And there's many things to unpack in that entire composition.
Give us just the briefest of bios of J.S. Bach.
Sure. I like to say, especially to my students here at the seminary, that Bach, I think, is the most famous Lutheran in the world. Even people who aren't familiar yet with Martin Luther and his life and work, Johann Sebastian Bach is world renowned, and I think a lot of folks, sometimes even our own Lutherans, don't realize he was one of us. He was a confessional Lutheran, and he grew up in a time in an environment rich in music. He was born in 1685 and had a very interesting childhood. He was orphaned at the age of 10, went to live with his older brother, went to school in northern Germany where music at that time, of course, was part of the core curriculum. And if you were a member of the Bach family, that was part of the family business was to be a musician, especially a church musician. After some short stints as organist in a couple cities in Germany, he sort of had three main jobs following that. First, he served in the city of Weimar as sort of the chapel and court musician to the Duke of Weimar. We need to think about sort of the political realm of what was Germany at that time with rulers and sort of royal employ that we don't have in our day and age. And then for a short period, he also served in a prince's court, in the Prince of Köthen, Germany, as his court musician, providing music for all the royal affairs. But then the majority of Bach's career, he spent in the city of Leipzig from 1723 to the end of his life as cantor for the city of Leipzig, where he oversaw the music of really all the churches in the city, especially there are the two primary churches where most of his church cantatas were composed for and presented. And that's where the Christmas Oratorio had its genesis.
So that kind of takes us to the context question. Into what context is he composing this oratorio?
Yeah, I like to look at the oratorio as the way Bach constructed it. It's really not so much a cover-to-cover masterpiece like we think of, for instance, Handel's Messiah. You know, we hear that a lot this time of year in concerts, and that piece is sort of constructed as this cover-to-cover work, and it goes through various aspects of the life of Christ in Handel's work. But Bach's Christmas Oratorio is really sort of a six-part series of cantatas. In this sort of larger scheme of a work, Bach wrote a cantata for every day of Christmas and the festivals and the days of Christmas following the Christmas Day. And these are the six sort of categories of that. It's for Christmas Day itself, and then they had church on the second day of Christmas and the third day of Christmas there in Leipzig. And then the fourth section would be for New Year's Day, which in, liturgically is the circumcision of our Lord. And then the fifth part is the Sunday after New Year. And then the sixth and final part of what we call the oratorio is for the day of Epiphany. And so rather than in its original context, it wasn't heard from cover to cover in one sitting, but like Bach's other cantatas, these were part of the... It's sort of like another proper of the day in Bach's churches in Leipzig. The cantata served as, you know, just as the scripture readings and the hymns, you know, all have their proper assignments for the days and festivals of the church year. The cantata for J.S. Bach and his churches served as sort of like another liturgical proper based on the scripture readings and drawing theological insights out from them through the hymns and poetry he used.
The first selection that we're going to hear and get your comment on is one of the chorales, How Shall I Receive You? What should we be listening for here?
Yeah, this comes right near the beginning of the first section of the oratorio. So this would be the music for Christmas Day itself. And yeah, we've heard the narrator, the evangelist, sing the first few verses of the Christmas story from Luke 2, and there has been an aria sort of reflecting on that. And then Bach gives us this chorale. It's the Paul Gerhardt text, O Lord, How Shall I Meet You, that we sing often in Advent. But instead of using the tune that we sing it to in church or that Bach's congregation would have typically sung it to, Bach sets it to the same tune as O Sacred Head Now Wounded. And I find this is just a magnificent theological and musical statement. Here we are. It's Christmas morning. I doubt that many of us are hearing the melody of O Sacred Head Now Wounded in any of our churches on Christmas Day, unless you're hearing part of this oratorio. But what a great a theological statement Bach is making musically, that here, in the midst of starting to tell the Christmas story, that it is centered on the cross. And when we hear that tune, we know that's tied to Good Friday. We hear the cross, we know that is what that chorale tune is associated with. And so likewise here, already on Christmas, we know this is what the Christ child is here for us to live and to die.
It's one of the chorales from J.S. Bach's Christmas Oratorio. We're talking about that Christmas Oratorio on this December 26th. Cantor Kevin Hildebrand is our guest, associate cantor at Concordia Theological Seminary and director of the youth choir at St. Paul Lutheran Church and School in Fort Wayne, Indiana. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. When was Jesus born? When did he die and rise from the grave? And what does the timing of these events have to do with Christian theology and practice for the last 2,000 years? The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for December is titled, When Was Jesus Really Born? It's published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040, or you can check out When Was Jesus Really Born at issuesetc.org. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month, When Was Jesus Really Born?
What happens when you take solid doctrine and solid curriculum and combine them with ancient scholars and modern technology? You get Wittenberg Academy, the very first completely online classical Lutheran high school. We are unabashedly Lutheran and offer families a rigorous standard of academic excellence. Students can pick and choose classes, or they can utilize our entire curriculum for their high school education. Visit our website, wittenbergacademy.org, to find out more.
Real Reformation Radio. You're listening to Issues Etc.
In Hosea 4, we read, My people are destroyed by lack of knowledge. At the CLCC, we educate Lutherans on being Lutheran. The Confessional Lutherans for Christ's Commission treasure our Lutheran beliefs and think that all Christians would if they learned what we believe, teach, and confess. Visit our website at theclcc.org. See what we have to offer. Get on our mailing list, or better yet, join us. And encourage your pastors to hold an event in your area. For more information, go to theclcc.org.
Christ at the Center, The Justification of the Ungodly, A Contemporary View of Faith and Reason, The Holy Spirit in Christ. These are just some of the almost 30 essays included in Propter Christum, Christ at the Center. It's a new book of essays in honor of Issues Etc. regular guest, Pastor Daniel Preuss. Find out more and purchase Propter Christum at shop.logia.org. Propter Christum, Christ at the Center, shop.logia.org. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Cantor Kevin Hildebrand is our guest. We're looking at J.S. Bach's Christmas Oratorio on this Thursday afternoon, December the 26th. Cantor, when we hear these chorales, can you just explain to me briefly how these hymns, I mean, that's what they are really, how these hymns function in not just the Christmas Oratorio, but a lot of Bach's works?
Sure. Well, a good definition of a hymn is that it's a sung confession of the faith, and that's how Bach uses them in the cantatas. That's how they function in the divine service. That's the congregation that heard them in the churches in Leipzig would have been familiar with them, and likewise that our congregations hear hymns and chorales that they're familiar with it brings that to mind, and the theology that's connected to the hymn that they either hear, you know, a choir singing or instruments playing, or if they sing themselves, you know, as part of, you know, the hymn of the day or other hymns within in the service, as sort of an air of this richness of Lutheran music that flourished in Bach's day, and particularly in the city of Leipzig in these churches. It was just a natural component to include these rich hymns of the Reformation that were a regular part of churchly life for Bach and his family and for the Christian community in Leipzig, just as it is for our congregation, that he'd use those in his cantatas to continue that proclamation.
The next one we're going to hear is "Ah, My Darling Baby Jesus." What's the chorale here, and what is Bach doing with it?
Yeah, that's kind of a real literal translation of it. It's Luther's hymn, "From Heaven Above to Earth I Come," and this is the stanza which many people even know by memory in the translation: "Ah, dearest Jesus, Holy Child, prepare a bed soft, undefiled, within my heart, that it may be a quiet chamber kept for Thee." And this is the closing chorale of the part of the Christmas Oratorio for Christmas Day itself. Like many of Bach's cantatas, they typically close with the choir singing a harmonization of a chorale, usually one of the chief hymns of that day. And so Bach closes this cantata for Christmas Day with this stanza of "From Heaven Above," using the text, "The Ah, Dearest Jesus, Holy Child." And a musical and theological thing that Bach does with that is, you know, when we sing this text, it is, rightly so, kind of a reflective prayer, what this text is. You know, prepare a bed soft, undefiled, a quiet chamber. However, Bach does something very interesting musically here. After the choir sings one phrase, then we have a little interlude with trumpets and timpani. And he often in the Christmas Oratorio has the closing chorale sort of reflect the music that he used for the opening movement, the very introductory music at the beginning of the segment for today's program was from that first opening movement, and it's loud and fast and has trumpet and drums. When Bach uses trumpet and drums in his music, he often uses that when there's a royal context. To say this is, you know, the king, you know, Christ is the king. And so here there's this juxtaposition of Christ in the manger, you know, Jesus, Holy Child, and often we hear this very quiet, reflective, but then here's the interludes, trumpet and drums, the child in the manger, the child for us is also our king.
chorales from J.S. Bach's Christmas Oratorio, Ah, My Darling Baby Jesus. Cantor Kevin Hildebrand is our guest on this Thursday afternoon, December the 26th, as we look at J.S. Bach's Christmas Oratorio. Now, I want to put a fine point on this because there's something that Bach is trying to do here, as you mentioned before the break, musically. It would be a clever juxtaposition, just in terms of the music, to do something like this, to have these, the loudest of the instruments at the cradle of the baby Jesus. But again, what is he saying theologically there?
Right. Well, I think it's also this kind of, you know, it's the hiddenness of God that you see, you know, at first glance, one only sees, you know, a child in the manger and in the straw, and it's surrounded in these lowly surroundings, much like the music starts very simply, but hidden, you know, inside that. I think maybe Bach musically and theologically starts to draw the curtain back just a little bit for us to see, and that's what a theologically informed composer in the church can do, is help us see that truth of God. Now, see, it's more than what meets the eye. This is our God in the manger.
Now, the next part that we're going to listen to is a different function, so to speak, in the oratorio. We've talked about the chorale. What is a recitative?
Yeah, a recitative is simply a musical form where a soloist is singing, you know, a lot of text and sort of telling the story that way. A lot of the recitatives in the cantatas or the oratorios are the scripture texts. You know, this is prose. There's a lot of text that is presented in, you know, a short period of time, typically. And it's where we get the word recite from, recitative. It's based in the same word. There's also recitatives that use non-scriptural texts, and some of this theological poetry is presented that way, often sort of to set up then a longer song, an aria that the soloist will sing. And this example that we're going to listen to is an example where the bass soloist, in fact, is singing, sort of addressing the shepherds to go and see the child in the manger. The context for this is in the second part of the oratorio. It's for the second day of Christmas, where the story about the angels coming to the shepherds is told. And after the verse from Luke 2, where the angel says, "This will be a sign to you, you will find the baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger," there's a chorale is sung, and then a bass solo, recitative, sort of unpacks that a little bit more, saying, "Go to the manger there, shepherds, and what will you see? You'll see, you know, the Son of God in the manger being rocked to sleep." And what a creative musical thing that Bach employs here is when he gets to the point where the soloist sings, "You'll find the baby in the manger," as he's being rocked there, you'll hear the music changes, and the music is rocking back and forth, and you hear that in the orchestra. That's one of the things that a musician can help explain a text using musical tools at the musician's disposal, and I think this is a good example of how Bach puts that to work.
Here it is from J.S. Bach's Christmas Oratorio. So then go forth, you shepherds, go.
So geht denn hin, ihr Hirten geht, dass ihr das Wunder seht, und findet ihr des Höchsten Sohn in einer harten Krippe liegen. So singet ihm als einer Wiegen aus einem süßen Thron und mit gesamtem Chor. Dies wird's vor Hohe Frau.
Cantor Hildebrand, is part of what Bach is attempting to do here is kind of construct the musical nativity scene, but more than that, not just for display, but to draw the worshiper in to that scene?
Yeah, absolutely. I think a real strong point of the Christmas oratorio, again, like many of Bach's cantatas, is it tells the story. It gives the scriptural narrative. It has recitatives and other examples that sort of expound on that text a little bit. We have chorales that reflect that. And then there's also many places where an aria will sort of apply this, you know, to the Christian's life. And I think there's many examples in here where there is the message of comfort and peace given to the Christian church, to the individual Christian. One example that I'm thinking of is in the fourth part of the Christmas oratorio. This is for the New Year's Day, or the circumcision of our Lord, where it starts out, really it spends very little time with the verses about that from Luke, where Jesus is brought to the temple and he's given his name, and most of that cantata focuses on, now let's reflect on the name of Christ and what does this mean for the Christian. There's a great aria in that part of the oratorio where a soprano is singing this aria about the name of Jesus and saying, is that something that's going to make you know, the Christian afraid? No. In fact, Bach underscores that with the soprano sings, you know, these words no or nein in German. And then those same musical notes are echoed by an oboe in the orchestra. And then oftentimes there's a singer, another singer somewhere else in the church, like way in the back balcony, and that singer echoes it again. So you hear this word, this answer of this rhetorical question, that the name of Christ doesn't bring fear, but it brings comfort. The flip side of that same aria, saying that, well, so what does this mean for the Christian and my life and my death? Should I be afraid of death? No. Because Jesus is there with me, and he says to me, yes. And the flip side to that is you know, in German, ja, and you hear the singer sing ja, and then the instrument echoes that those same notes, and you hear a singer way in the back of the church echo it. And that is just about as personal as the message you can get when it's talking about my own life, my own death, and what that means. Everything is changed because of Jesus' birth.
Cantor Kevin Hildebrand is our guest. We're talking about J.S. Bach's Christmas Oratorio on this Thursday, December the 26th. He's associate cantor at Concordia Theological Seminary and director of the youth choir at St. Paul's Lutheran Church and School in Fort Wayne, Indiana. When we come back, we're going to hear the angels singing. Stay tuned.
We Lutherans were never aided by following along with some other tradition's theological priorities and catchphrases.
Issues Etc. regular guest, Pastor Heath Curtis, coordinator for stewardship for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod on a Lutheran approach to stewardship.
Other folks are not approaching it from our good, solid Lutheran understanding of law and gospel and vocation. There's a place to talk about this in Christianity, and we have a way of talking about stewardship as Lutherans without ever using the word stewardship, if you like. I'm going to talk to you today about your vocation in your home, in your church, in your society, and how each one of these makes a claim on you, on your presence, on your support, on your prayers. That's how we should talk about this as Lutherans.
You'll find several stewardship resources at lcms.org/stewardship. lcms.org/stewardship.
Listen to the best of the church's Christmas music during the entire Christmas season at lutheranpublicradio.org.
God,
During the 12 days of Christmas, Lutheran Public Radio, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Hi, this is Pastor Dan Kistler of Our Savior's Lutheran Church in Pacifica, California. A small congregation on the Pacific Coast just south of San Francisco, we invite you to join us as we receive Christ's gifts of forgiveness, life, and salvation that He won for us on the cross and now delivers to us through His Word, baptism, and the Lord's Supper. For more information about us or for free downloadable sermons, visit our website at oursaviorspacifica.com. God's peace be with you always in our Savior, Jesus Christ.
The radio voice of the Lutheran faith for the 21st century. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues, Etc. 300. Redeemer Lutheran, Mandeville, Louisiana. Our Savior Lutheran, Whitefish Bay, Wisconsin. Christ Lutheran, Sioux Falls, South Dakota. Emmanuel Lutheran, Louisville, Nebraska. Grace Lutheran, Warminster, Pennsylvania. Trinity Lutheran, Valonia, Indiana. Emmanuel Lutheran, Pensacola, Florida, St. Athanasius Lutheran, Vienna, Virginia, and Emmaus Lutheran, St. Louis, Missouri. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues, Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print the one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues, Etc. 300, we'll publicize your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues, Etc. journal. IssuesETC.org. Click support. The Issues, Etc. 300. Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about J.S. Bach's Christmas Oratorio with Cantor Kevin Hildebrand of Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Folks, if you appreciate sacred Christmas music, be sure to listen during the final 11 days of Christmas. It's just the beginning of the season, you know. And at LutheranPublicRadio.org, we observe the Christmas season through the church's sacred music. That means beginning with Christmas Eve, we have been playing this Christmas music for the entire 12 days of Christmas, the entire Christmas season. Now, the music that you've been hearing in the world out there started about Halloween with pop Christian, well, sometimes Christian, but pop Christmas music. At Lutheran Public Radio, it's the church's music according to the church's year. You can listen absolutely free 24/7. If you want to listen 24/7 for 12 solid days, that's what you'll get, sacred music for the world at LutheranPublicRadio.org. Kent Hildebrand, the next thing we're going to hear are the angels singing the very familiar words from Luke's text. What should we be listening for here?
Well, there's a lot of things always to listen for in Bach's music. I will break down a couple things to point out. First of all, I think this may be one of the texts of Scripture that's been set the most often by composers, and perhaps is sung the most often by Christians. I mean, we sing this text in the Divine Service, in the Gloria in Excelsis, when we sing glory to God in the highest and peace to His people on earth, glory be to God on high. Lots of hymns have been paraphrased from this text, and Bach includes this, of course, in his Christmas oratorio, and fittingly so, it begins with it's glorious, it's big, it's the angel, you know, multitude singing, and it's exceedingly joyful and very enjoyable to listen to. When the text, however, goes to "and peace on earth," it takes what I think is kind of a surprising turn. I think what is a sort of a common worldly definition of peace is, you know, the lack of turmoil, you know, lack of conflict. You know, there's lots of sermons that have, you know, expounded on this idea of you know, what does peace mean in the church? You know, peace not as the world gives. And I think Bach brings that out a little bit in his music with this text. Yes, it gets a little softer when we hear this example. You know, it starts out big, kind of big, fast, and loud, which is always fun. But then when we get to the "and peace on earth," it's a little softer. But instead of just being, you know, quiet and tranquil and placid, the music is kind of turbulent. It's a little chromatic, meaning that there's lots of sharps and a key change in there. It moves into a minor key, which, you know, sometimes we might think, well, that doesn't seem appropriate to sing about a piece there. It's kind of, you know, turbulent and darker than we would expect. And I think this is, again, another theological statement that Bach is making. You know, the piece that Christ brings is a piece unlike the world gives, and it comes about in a way that the world wouldn't expect. It comes through Christ's own suffering and death and his passion. And that is, I think, reflected in that musical change that happens in the music. That happens two times as Bach goes through this text from Luke 2 in this music, going to that "and peace on earth," where it gets quieter and a little more chromatic.
Cantor Hildebrandt, is Bach doing something here by stretching out what is essentially, you know, if you look at the actual text, about 15 seconds if you just read through it, if mm-hmm. you took your time reading through it, to almost 2.5 minutes? Is he saying something about the importance of this? Is he saying something about its place in the oratorio?
Well, sure. And that's one of the things that can be done musically that can't be done, for instance, just reading a text or you know, speaking the words over and over. But a composer, and particularly with theological insight, can bring that out. And sometimes a text is repeated, and it's following. There's a musical pattern that the composer is trying to bring out. That it's going into this key, and then it's going into that key, and music wants to take the sort of modulation, you know, through various keys, and then the composer will treat a section of the text differently to bring out the meaning, either a literal meaning or a theological reflection of that text. And I think that's one very positive thing about well-written church music, is that it helps us hear that text even many times. But the composer is treating that text over and over to help us hear that in a meaningful way.
We'll take another break, and we'll come back 10 more minutes on this Thursday afternoon, December the 26th, looking at J.S. Bach's Christmas Oratorio. Cantor Kevin Hildebrand is our guest, associate cantor at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. He's also director of the youth choir and St. Paul Lutheran Church and School in Fort Wayne as well. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues, Etc.
And experience firsthand by sitting down in classes and actually hearing professors, coming to chapel, which is always the high point of the day, to hear the Word of God and to lift our voices in song.
Issues, Etc. regular guest Dr. Paul Grimm on why you should consider visiting Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Spend time talking to professors. I mean, there's not a professor here who will not be willing to take time, whether it's after chapel during the coffee hour or just to come into one study and sit down and talk for a while. To answer questions, to help them to get a sense of, A, do they want to be a pastor or a deaconess? And then B, is this the right place? And, well, maybe C would be the question, is now the right time for them to make that decision?
If you've contemplated the vocation of pastor or deaconess, contact Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, 1-800-481-2155, 800-481-2155, or send an email to admission@ctsfw.edu.
Theology for blue collar, white collar, and clerical collar. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
In the fullness of time, he came, bringing such joy to the world. As the church celebrates the joy of waiting fulfilled, consider registering at acelc.net for our next conference, Christ for Us in the Office of the Holy Ministry, February 25th through 27th in Cedar Falls, Iowa. In the fullness of time, he came and still comes for our joy in his word and sacraments. Have a blessed Christ Mass and visit us at acelc.net.
He Has Made Him Known, a Christmas sermon preached by Pastor Todd Wilkin.
The true God is not a God that will be found as a result of our God seeking. He will only be revealed as he looks for and finds us. This is what was happening when Jesus was born.
And for any size year-end donation, we'll send you a CD of this sermon and a sermon preached by Todd on the conversion of Paul. You can make an online tax-deductible gift at issuesetc.org.
Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're looking at J.S. Bach's Christmas Oratorio on this Thursday, December the 26th. Cantor Kevin Hildebrand is our guest. Folks, we need your help, and you can help us educate a new generation of Lutherans in 2014 by making a year-end tax-deductible gift to support the worldwide outreach of Issues, Etc. You can donate by check, make your check payable to Issues, Etc. Send it to Issues, Etc., Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Here's that address again. Issues, Etc., Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also make a year-end tax-deductible gift online, issuesetc.org. Thanks for thinking of us in the waning days of 2013 and into 2014, especially when you consider your year-end giving. I got a question for you, because a lot of people really love Bach. This time of the year, they might put the CD in and play it around the house. Is it intended as background music, Cantor Hildebrand?
Well, I always am rejoicing when people are playing and listening to Bach in any capacity. But I think it's even more meaningful and important if there's an opportunity to do some active listening to the music with the text readily available. For instance, all these examples we've been listening to are recordings, and the text is in its original German. And for those of us who are not fluent in German or even have any clue what that's about, to have a translation right there reveals some of these examples that we're talking about. You hear, oh, the music got quieter there. Oh, well, it's reflecting what the text is singing about right there. So I think to have, whether it's the CD, a liner notes, or something from a reputable website that has good translations of those texts, or while we're hearing the evangelist singing these words of scripture, I'm hearing it sung in a foreign language, but I know these verses, from Luke 2, and or I know this hymn. I'm hearing it in its original languages, but I know that this hymn already, "O Sacred Head, Now Wounded," or "From Heaven Above to Earth I Come," and I can see the text in its English translation, and that makes it all the much more meaningful for the listener. To sort of have an active view of what am I listening to at this point.
The oratorio concludes with a chorale appropriate to Bach's way of doing things. Mm-hmm. This one, "Now Be You Avenged," doesn't sound at the beginning like it fits at the end of a Christmas oratorio. Set it up for us, if you would.
Right. Well, this, of course, is in the sixth part, which is written for the day of Epiphany. And really the focus of this section is Herod and the wise men. And it's really not so much about the wise men and the gifts and these great treasures, but really a lot of the poetic text, reflection, and then the chorales that are chosen to go around that talk about the enemies of Christ and the church, such as Herod. This closing chorale talks about these same enemies of Christ and the church. And this literal translation that you were reading about, you are avenged, about you're avenged from all your foes. Who it's addressing is you the Christians. It's a plural pronoun here in the German, saying you, the church, you have been avenged. All of these foes, and they go on to they're named here in this chorale: death, devil, sin, and hell. Christ has shattered. In researching this a little bit more, one sort of colorful translation of the German word is pulverized. Christ has pulverized these enemies for you, so that now man's place is next to God. And this is a remarkably powerful text. And just like we heard in that first example, way back on Christmas Day, Bach uses the tune to "O Sacred Head, Now Wounded," again. And because that's the cross that chorale makes us think of, that's how Christ pulverizes, destroys these enemies of the church. But now, instead of hearing sort of a quiet, somber setting of this "O Sacred Head, Now Wounded" tune with this powerful text, again, Bach gives us sort of this musical sort of unveiling a little bit, where there's this magnificent trumpet solo in between the phrases of this chorale. It's a chorale of power and might. That's Christ's power and might hidden in the cross. The music starts to reveal that a little bit. Thank you.
Cantor Hildebrand, your final thoughts here on Bach's Christmas Oratorio with about a minute and a half.
Sure. Well, I always rejoice in having an opportunity myself to even reflect on the music and the text of this great work. There's always opportunities to discover new insights on that. Kind of like, you know, that's what makes the hymns of the church so wonderful, that we never outgrow them. That's what makes, you know, every year we go, we hear the same Christmas story, but there's always more to be said. There's always more to be sung. There's always more to preach about. There's always more that can be unpacked. And likewise with the music of the church, and particularly with Bach's music, I also think that it helps us, we're reminded that the music of the church is so much more than just something in the background or filler or something to fill the time, but it's so much more than it is proclamation, it's confession. In the Reformation, they called it the living voice of the gospel, and indeed it is. And so in the hands of theologically astute composers, the song of the church, you know, really blossoms. And when the church can proclaim the same truth, you know, from both its preaching and its teaching and in its music, the church is really blessed when that happens. And Bach is a master of giving those examples to us.
Cantor Kevin Hildebrand is Associate Cantor at Concordia Theological Seminary and Director of the Youth Choir at St. Paul Lutheran Church and School in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Cantor Hildebrand, thank you very much for being our guest.
My pleasure, Todd. Thank you.
Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we're going to begin a three-part teaching with Dr. John Seleska on the promises of God. We're going to be going through the promises of God to the patriarchs, the prophets, and then the promises fulfilled in the New Testament. Also tomorrow, we will discuss Handel's Messiah on the Incarnation with Dr. Joseph Hurl. That'll be very interesting. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for December is very appropriate for the season. When was Jesus really born? It comes from Concordia Publishing House, and you can find out more about this great scholarly work on the ancient calendars and the date of Jesus' birth at our website, issuesetc.org, or give them a call, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. I'm Todd Wilkin. More Issues Etc. right after this.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois. 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Collinsville, Illinois is happy to support the Christ-centered, cross-focused ministry of Issues Etc. Join us for worship, Bible classes, youth ministry, and other opportunities to grow in Christ. We have a Christian day school for children in preschool to 8th grade. We are located at 1300 Beltline Road. Call us at 618-344-3151 or visit www.goodshepherdcollinsville.org.
Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, email, Google+. Simple ways that you can share Issues Etc. programs with your friends, relatives, and fellow parishioners. Just go to Listen on Demand Archives at issuesetc.org and look for the share feature images posted beneath each audio segment. You're only one click away from telling someone about Issues Etc. The Listen on Demand page at issuesetc.org and look for Share This.